Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 744, Halo Infinite Campaign Demo Reveal Discussion, recorded live on July 23rd, 2020. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am one of your three co-hosts, Duststorm.
I am Godzilla T.
And I am the actor mostly known as playing an awkwardly bald and eccentrically unique and talented, although often misinformed, Girolani, that you call the angst of Raiden. Other people call me just the right hand of Atriox. I like to think of myself as more of a custodian of the things that he likes to do in a kitchen. I basically am the custodian of all things that involve spices, sometimes the onions. I chop things like fruit, vegetables, or small people. You know, humans are different sizes. But that's what I do in life. I should stop while I'm ahead.
Who are you?
I own puppies.
So it's the sleep deprivation that's getting to you.
Yes, basically. Yeah,
it must be. Much.
Mostly these days. I'm not Sharknado, but I do know where the teeth come from. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds fun.
As you can tell, both DJ and I are pretty much delirious at this point.
At this point, yes. We're leading this to Godzilla T to keep us
safe. He's going to be the one that's going to make sure that we're on track tonight.
See you later.
Oh, you had a job all day.
That's too bad.
Well, what's good?
I've already put in my 8 hours for today.
I'm doing dive rolls. He's doing dive rolls out of the side. Like, nope, I'm out.
It was good while it lasted, everybody. Thanks. We will catch you next time. Keep on fragging them trucks. Oh, wait, we still got a show.
See you later, bye. Crap.
People are like, that's the shortest podcast ever.
Even got the NDS to flash the Skype logo.
Anyway.
Oh, geez. Well, we thank everyone. We got 11 viewers in here. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by tonight. We know it's been quite a long day, at least for me and DJ. It's been a long day, and GT has been a long day for other reasons, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's called a job.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lots of Infinite stuff to talk about tonight. We will get to that. We are going to do a quick and dirty run through of the Podtacular update. So, GT, how did we do with Fragging Friday last week? Because I was not there for the first time in a few months, actually.
Yeah, and you missed it. We had lots of fun.
Hence me not being there. I think that's the definition of not being there.
We even had a substitute Dust.
Oh?
Yeah.
Am I being replaced?
I don't know who did it, but somebody changed their tag to Dust.
Oh, damn it, Speg.
Damn it, Speg.
You're not to impersonate your leader.
To dust and dirt and awkwardness.
We had much fun. We roamed around Halo 5.
Very nice.
Fine roam. And we played some Warzone. We actually did pretty good. When we could find a game, Warzone matchmaking was a little light this last Friday. But we rolled into some customs and, you know, we played some we hadn't played in a while. If you have a suggestion for a new custom game, whether it be for MCC or Halo 5, please let me know, because I am looking for some new customs. Stop it, DJ.
So I'm going to ask you, did you roam where you wanted to? Did you roam around the world?
Yes, I roamed around the world.
Roam where you want to. Roam around the world.
I roamed around the open world.
Oh, perfect. Even better.
Next week's going to be the back to tame, and we actually discuss things.
HaloKaraoke.com. There we go.
Someone needs to reserve that. You need to reserve that if it's not there.
Three. Oh.
Coming to a Halo outpost near you. 2052, whatever that might be.
Yes. Next year or 2022, depending on which one is more favorable and less toxic.
And if the world is actually can handle that again. Anyways.
And be sure to follow your Halo.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Not Halo, your follower.
I-O-G-T, lots of everything in life for making that.
Anyway, we had a lot of good times. I will make this announcement. This is up on our Discord that this weekend, the 25th, Saturday evening, I will be doing a PC game night for those that want to join. DJ, if you keep it up, I'm going to lock you out. I'm ready for you, DJ.
So 25th, the month of Saturday, we're doing what again?
Anyway, we're going to have a PC game night for Master Chief Collection.
Perfect. What are we playing? Which version?
We will be in matchmaking playing all of them, unless the lobby wants to focus on one, as long as it's not Halo 3.
All right, so Griffball it is. Let's go with that.
Halo 2 Anniversary Griffball.
Yeah, there you go.
It works. It works. It's in.
But no,
it's
I've seen a lot of interest in the greasy gaming lately, so I wanted to give the folks that have joined us that are PC gamers a chance to have some fun.
I commend GT for trying really hard to keep us on track. Oh my
God. Who said I was even trying?
Seeing him through my third eye, I call it the portal.
Ah, I see what you're alluding to a little bit.
Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. Although I expected it to fall off when I did that and nothing happened, so never mind.
Anyway. Well, thank you for the recap, GT.
There we go.
As regular listeners of the show will know, you can find us on stream at 8:30 p.m. Friday evenings. That's Eastern time. And that is our Fraggin' Friday, Lobby's Choice.
Also true.
So, I guess the choices this weekend will be Halo 5 or MCC on Xbox for Friday, and then PC on Saturday.
So. Yeah, we'll do a PC Saturday. We'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. As it gets more popular, we will do our best to add more nights.
The Patreons are going to love this.
I'm sorry.
DJ's about to wet himself because he has something he wants to say.
No, I just wanted to wink.
What? I don't even know anymore. Oh gosh. I will reiterate, it's been a long day for me and DJ.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize. Moving forward. I'm trying to be professional
here. It's all good. For achieving Halo, we did go back to MCC.
So I can't see all of it. I put my old glasses on.
Perfect. I have all of my eyes open.
I don't know. It looks like you're winking at dust.
Ow. Damn it. They're all gone. I've lost both of my eyes.
I don't even know where they went.
As long as the dogs don't get to them. They're whining, trying to figure out what the heck you're doing back there.
One is whining, the other one is passed the f*** out.
So for achieving Halo, worked on getting my third playlist in Reach. So got that one achievement. And then we did a couple of other things regarding some challenges. Some of the other folks that joined us on stream, we helped get them challenges. As far as the company commendations, we're still working on a few. No new ones since last time, but we have Splatters being our closest one with just over 200 of those to go. Next closest one is killing a Spartan with a standard weapon, and then killing an enemy Spartan with a headshot. So those are the closest company commendations that we have going up for the company. And then for articles this week, we did have a streamer showcase for Saturday. We had the Shy Way. For those who don't know the Shy Way, he is one of the HCS grassroots partners, and I like to kind of call him the next Walshy. He does a really good job of breaking down strats that a lot of the pro players do throughout a lot of the various competitive showcases and events, and he really digs into the nuance of being able to do trick jumps, how to navigate maps in ways that the pros do. So he is really good at kind of breaking down a lot of the movement and really kind of being a conduit from a casual viewer to a pro player.
Is he familiar with the shoutcaster named Walshy? Because I feel like they should maybe be related or be introduced at some point. Maybe they should have dinner
together. They do know if they have cast it together and they do have know they? Of each other. Yes.
There's not Walshy, not like, and Walsho. Notice I got a complete moment of silence for that. Here we go. This is how I get exited off of the show. It's fun to watch this shit. This is my career going downhill.
Gosh. It's all
moving
good.
On. Anyways.
Moving on. So we had that for our streamer showcase. And then for our Machinima Monday, we had zombie matchmaking made by Nightmare Films. This is the first time that we've had something by Nightmare Films. But this is a Machinima done in Reach. And it has an interesting little twist in it where imagine if once the game launched, no matter what you did in matchmaking, if you became a zombie, you were a zombie pretty much throughout the entire campaign. And there's a whole story and narrative behind it. It's kind of wacky. It's kind of fun. But it's an interesting watch. It's a long one. It's an hour-ish. So if you have the time to kill, then feel free to watch it. I have a feeling a lot of people are probably rewatching the campaign demo over and over and over again and dissecting that frame by frame because Duquesne's doing that right now.
You mean Halo 5?
Why would we do that?
Because we're Halo fanatics and we like to torment ourselves by getting into the nitty gritty of things.
So I like big Halo and I cannot lie. Some mutter butters night delight. Wait, what? Where were we at?
Unfortunately, we're small Halos because all the big Halos went away.
Wow, can you please just not in the same, like, there we go. I'm just going to keep anytime I feel that need to actually. By the way, can you not into the same category as, because wow, I feel like I would just be a at that point.
All of our audio listeners are going to be like, what the heck? What? Anywho.
Anyways, moving on.
Moving on.
Am I recording right now? I am. Oh, thank God.
We did the clap down. I hope you're recording. Oh, jeez.
I don't know. I feel like Godzilla T's got HAL in the background and not even Halo. So there we go. I'm just getting these weird flashbacks of the movie 2000, whatever it was. Space Adventure, Space something Odyssey. Or other. My parents watched it and I was terrified of all the terrible graphics.
I haven't actually seen it.
HAL? Odyssey! Ow. Space Odyssey 2000!
Yeah. Space Odyssey.
It's in GT's background. It even says HAL on it. Odyssey. Yeah, if you look at the back of his app, it says HAL. GT knows HAL. They were friends.
I know of what you're talking about. I just haven't seen it.
Wow. You ever seen the movie Psycho or Bugs Bunny?
I've seen American Psycho.
That is not even remotely the same and more male nudity. So let's go ahead and move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I made GT laugh. Moving on. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyways. So that's going to be it for the normal stuff that we do with the podcast. Everything else, we're going to be talking about the Halo Infinite reveal today. So
when was that?
Oh, I thought we were talking about Dead or Alive 3.
Yes. There's Dead or Alive 3 plus Jason versus Freddy 15. God, there's so much amazing horror content. I can't even wait. Don't forget. Super Ultra Pac-Man meets Mario Brothers 7 in Forza 15, brought to you by everything known as wings. Welcome to Wingdome.
What is it with you and your fascination of wings today? No, this week. Your fascination with wings this week.
I'm hungry! Don't judge me!
He's got two new mouths eating him out of house and home.
I recall three separate instances now this week of you and I talking about wings in some form or fashion.
I'm just hungry, dude. I'm always hungry. The puppies are like... The puppies are constantly hungry. I'm hungry. They're barking when they're hungry. I'm waiting for Kevin to get home. I've got you guys to deal with. And then there's the whole concept that every Covenant member in that trailer was probably starving because we know the Banished don't believe in food because, well, Atriox is a bag, so... You know, I feel bad. I feel bad for the Manish. No wonder they're angry. Somebody has to like float in there. Imagine starving Xperia. Imagine what he would become if you didn't feed him. Have you seen gremlins? Do you know what happens if you don't water them until after midnight and then feed them pizza? Craziness. No. Craziness. It's like having Faven as a child. Did I go there? I did. Interesting.
Yes, you did.
Yes. Yes.
All the way.
You did.
I'm looking at Faven winking at you, buddy.
Let's dial it back a little bit. Let's dial it back.
What? No. We're dialing it forward.
Yeah. No.
You know why? Because it's Forward Until Dawn. Wait, no, that's a different movie.
Different game. Anyway.
Hello, Austin. You came in at a very opportune time.
Austin.
Hey, Austin.
Welcome.
And the Rage
You're
Nerd.
You're named after a city in Texas. Tell us how that affects your daily personal morale.
What do you got against Austin?
Nothing, but I have a mug that says Tinkerbell, so I really feel like I can't say anything about reality.
DJ's more delirious than I am. And thank you, Rage, for continuing your sub you got from Pens. Appreciate it.
GG.
All right.
Going on.
Yes. So DJ and I actually had a discussion about the reveal right after the stream. We had a discussion here on Podtacular with me, DJ, Kickass Jamis, Radex Thunder, Duquesne 23, and who was the other person?
Common Sense. Wait, what? No, that was it. George, the Eagle.
Yes.
Also Common Sense.
So we went on for 2.5 hours breaking down the trailer and kind of going piece by piece. We didn't go frame by frame necessarily, but I want to kind of split the discussion into different buckets. What, DJ?
Well, I'm just saying, you know who did break it down frame by frame? Obi Jeff in my Discord with literal photos. 1,400 really? Of them. Oh, you have no idea, dude.
Gosh. Like,
wait, bro, stop. Stop it.
Yeah, I know.
Halo
I know.
Collector.
I know, Kevin.
What do you mean?
We'll talk about that next week.
Kevin, please stop planning your entire future on Halo based on mega constructs.
No. That was a major show.
What? Mega constructs? It's a freaking toy. Who cares? It's not the game.
That's not the point.
The point is, mega constructs may have had a complete and total fluke in the reality of their marketing. What comes out in a Lego offshoot does not indicate the future of a franchise. If you think that it does, we need to seriously sit down and have a conversation over about seven different courses of dinner and 5 bottles of wine.
It's not.
Dusk, you better tell him or he's going to blow a gasket.
It's not about that. All right.
What do you think changed something based on the Mega Constructs release? Tell me.
I'll break this down super quick. So sure. Mattel was releasing their San Diego Comic-Con exclusive at 9 a.m., 12 p.m. Eastern, the same time that the stream launched. And all the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives are always in high demand. But they like timing it with the same time as the stream launched, to where people had to kind of be in both places at once, didn't help the Halo community. It was a super limited run with no ticketing system for people to kind of wait in line and get in to get their set. And folks like Laird, who went in to got one of the things in their cart and went to check out. By the time they got to check out, it errored out and they couldn't get
what?
Yeah. The whole ordering system
This was about the referencing to the storyline.
No,
ordering system went down? Like, Kevin and Laird are part of, like, one of the largest Halo, like, they are Halo Collector. The reason why they have the name tag Halo Collector, because they are the premier for Halo collectibles.
And another facet of that, none of the collector groups got any of the media pre-releases. So Halo Canon got one. But only major YouTubers apparently got these pre-release sets. None of the collectors did this time around.
Have you seen the following that Laird and Kevin and the Halo Collectors group have?
Exactly. So there's a whole fiasco around that right now. Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize for being an a-hole a minute ago, Kevin, because that's absurd and stupid. I thought you were just referring to the fact that Locke's helmet was on that guy's shoulder, and I was like,
No, it wasn't. It wasn't anything like that. And the ordering system was not thought out well. So,
I have a thing.
Can we just all agree so far 2020 has sucked?
I have a thing.
We saw a lot of cool stuff today. I mean,
yeah.
Yes, the Mega Constructs thing was an absolute downer. I'm not going to lie.
Can I get a thing for today, the Halo Collector team?
I'm sure they would appreciate it. Yeah.
Keep talking.
So, yeah, that's what happened with the Mattel stuff. I know we have a few collectors that listen to the show, and it was definitely mismanaged, poorly planned, and unfortunately, because I had the page up and I got so ingrained in the stream, I forgot to order, which is totally my fault. But there were lots of people in in the queue waiting for the Instagram post to go so they could get to the link and order the thing. And Laird told me he had his stuff in his cart, went to go pay, his credit card errored out, and by the time he went to go enter in his new credit card information, it removed all of it from his cart because it was sold out. And now they're going on eBay for $130+ a piece. It should have been, especially with everything going on with the pandemic, it should have been a limit to maybe 2 per purchaser. And you have a ticket system, how they do with like PAX badges and whatnot, where only a certain amount of people are allowed to be in queue at the same time to purchase things. That way, once you get your purchase done, you have to go back into the queue. And they cross-reference names and credit cards, so you can't duplicate orders. And Laird said they sold out in less than a minute. And granted, San Diego Comic-Con sets, there are a limited number, which totally makes sense. But Mattel knows their followers. They know how much, especially the Mega collectors, because Mega is... Mattel has a huge aspect of the Halo collectibles. Oh, they already have those, DJ.
I know. There was only 150 of them.
Wait, the silvers?
Yep.
No, those were like 300 or 400 of those.
No, this is the original 150 group.
Oh.
There's a difference.
Yeah, that's...
See where it says limited edition of 150?
I wouldn't be surprised if they already had those.
Oh, I'm sure they have a ton of them.
So... That was
but
the fiasco with that, and
that's insane that they wouldn't have at least recognized.
Yeah,
that's really.
I don't even think the legendary 117 got one.
Really?
I don't think so.
If neither Tom, Kevin, or Laird got any of those, that's a travesty.
Yeah,
these are the mainstays that. That basically create the lineage of what constitutes collector's items in the Halo community. Mm-hmm. These guys have been the baseline of everything that we look at.
Okay, Tom got one.
Like, he must have got one. I have a collector thing. I think I've got something cool. They have all the cool, all of it.
Yep.
And I'm really sad that you all. That's really tragic, and I'm really sorry. Tom did get one. Well. There's at least one. I'm blown away because you like at events, y'all are always right up there at the front of the line. Like you put forth the effort to make sure that you've got it.
Yep.
Day one, ready to go.
Yep.
That's why you're the Halo collectors. Like that's absurd. I was really thinking this was all about like the storyline. I'm like, can we not make this about the storyline?
Not on this one.
No. Now I feel very bad.
No, they know better than they're a lot better about that.
That's really crappy.
Yeah. But let's turn to positive news. That's hopefully that's the only downer part that we'll talk about in this podcast. Let's get to the positive stuff.
We have Halo news.
Yes. DJ and I will recap our DJ and I will recap our collective thoughts after we hear GT give his reaction.
Yes.
So since you're kind of the latest reaction to it, have you seen all three videos?
Yes, I have watched all three videos.
Okay. Let's start
multiple times even.
let's start with the Become tease. The very first video that was shown on stream today. What do you think about that?
I liked it. It brought back some memories of references that they've made in the past lore.
Books or film?
Like, you know, some of those Oni black sites that you never want to go to?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What?
As DJ tries to drown himself on his soup. Anyway.
we even got the chat saying, DJ!
The first one I really enjoyed. The start of it was just vague enough that you questioned just for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is this Halo?
Yep.
Kind of like they did with the Halo 5 or the...
The 2018 one.
The almost Halo 5 trailer with mm-hmm. Poncho Chief.
Yes.
Oh, that
Poncho
one.
Chief actually did it a little bit better. Now, Poncho don't get me single. Wrong. The 2018 trailer was good. And it yes. did make you think, but Poncho Chief was better at it. And to see them creating the armor, and then you have Halsey's voiceover.
I didn't think that was Halsey at first, but then Haruspis and Toa Freak corrected me. I'm be like, no,
listen to the dialogue and the way she's talking about the Mjolnir armor, it becomes obvious pretty quick that it was Halsey.
I was questioning it a little bit because it didn't quite sound like her reads of Halsey's before.
Well, the one thing that did make me question it is the way Jen read the lines. It kind of made it sound like a younger Halsey.
Well, younger right, Halsey and that's what they were is saying. Cortana. I mean, Cortana and Halsey were both voiced right. by her. Yeah.
But, I mean, compared to what, you know, Halsey's voice in Halo 5 to this one, she sounds younger than she did in Halo 5.
So, basically, Cortana, Halsey just sounds like Cortana, minus, you know, with an entire carton of cigarettes and a bottle of rum. That's understandable.
Half a carton now, come on.
My name's Catherine Halsey. I'm here, and I'm here to tell you, your chief. Well, I gotta put something in the back of his head. Yeah, it's my fake lung. Shut up. Don't judge me. I'll stab you.
Buddy, you're late.
You're late. Let's go. Where's your arm? I don't want to talk to you. And don't judge me. It's there. It's just you can't see it. Active camo. Active camo.
There DJ, you go. I think you might need to back off on the... on the cigs there.
You sure that was his tobacco?
Well,
something else? I mean, it's basically Marge Simpson as a Halo character. There you go.
Halo Collector said that that there were HoloLenses on the technician. I didn't
really
pick up on the fact that there was a HoloLens or a HoloLens lookalike.
No. Yeah, I would. Yeah,
you have to peer said something. HoloLens, what?
But yeah, okay.
I'm going back and looking now just to double check.
Wait, where? Where? What? What was that?
Kevin? One of the of technicians almost looked this. Like Professor Danders.
Oh, that is a HoloLens.
Is it?
At 49 seconds. At 49 seconds. Yeah.
In which video?
The Become the Step Inside one. Trailer.
Oh, that one. Yes. All right. There we go.
Nice. I missed that.
Astro, I missed that. Buddy. By the way, do we want to give Halo Collectors shout out to where people can find their products? Obviously, they got shafted on this event.
We certainly can. You can find everything that you would ever want to know about Halo collectibles, including super rare finds that you could never even find on store shelves, over at halocollector.com.
There you go.
That'll take you to their Facebook page. They also are on Twitter and Instagram as well. And I think they have a YouTube channel. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, but I think there's a YouTube channel out there. Or Laird, if he's still here and not lurking.
Laird, are you lurking?
So yeah, that becomes Step Inside trailer was definitely I don't know if that's just a tease to kind of build the hype for Halo, or if we're going to see a little bit more of that with future marketing or the game. That might just be a marketing specific piece and not necessarily in the game.
I think it probably. Overall, it is probably a marketing piece. Or but just that I could item? See I could see the outside shots being in game. The shots of the station itself.
Yeah.
Now as far as the factory and things like that, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's all just promo. But I could see those outside shots of that station being used in game.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense.
If any of it would be used in game, that would be what I would say that was used in game. The way they are forming the pieces of the undersuit is kind of.
Yeah. The build out was actually incredible. I thought that was a really unique. Mm-hmm. It was a really unique perspective of being able to take a look inside the technology that creates Master Chief's suit.
Yeah, the whole thing of seeing the armor put together, we've never seen it. Well, we've seen pieces put together. We've never seen it built.
Right.
Yeah, right. Well, there were, like, we saw it taken apart, but not put back together. And I think that's an important part of that construction.
Well, we like, in Spartan Ops, we saw them put the armor on. It's like, that's not, I guess,
ish.
That's not, yeah.
Ish. Yeah.
And we've heard it all in the books about them taking armor on and off and all that kind of stuff.
Whether it's a team of technicians or you've got to have a full, like, armament production line. Like, there's there's a full, like, automated system where you stand automated there and it pulls everything off of you.
Yep. Yeah.
The canner.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that whole process, seeing that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So now on to the 8-minute campaign demo. So overall thoughts and feelings. We'll dig into some of the detail stuff in discussion, but what are your overall thoughts and feelings from your initial watch of it?
Overall, it looks really good. I like the visual effects that they have in this demo. And I know that it's only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
They've done pretty much what I thought they've done. The advanced movement is still there. How much of it's there, don't exactly know. I loved Brohammer.
Yeah, he's going to be a wonderful character to see evolve throughout the whole game.
Especially, you know, how pleased he was with Chief after they crash landed on the ring.
I thought that was perfect. There were a few people that did not like find him annoying. I love the character. I think
I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Anybody who can stand up to a 9-foot super soldier and say, "Oi, stop crashing us into places we can't escape from and shut up."
Yeah.
And then Chief says,
it's
like,
just that.
That's not how this is done. We get the gun, and then we go together. Like, yeah, I can't really argue with that logic. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Like, he's such just a, like, gives that. Like,
right, right.
The human character is not.
This is a character like we haven't had in Halo.
I don't give a shit. Let's go.
This is a character we haven't really had in Halo. To give the Chief this kind of attitude. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, we've had Johnson, which had the fun kind of, I'll do it my way attitude, but not to this extent. I mean, and it really plays. It's Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Which just went right over Dust's head. I know it did.
I have heard of them.
Okay, but so you have the comedian and then? You have the straight guy.
So, what?
You know what he meant.
So who's on first?
I have seen that skit.
No.
Really? Have you? So who's on first?
What's on second?
No. I don't know who's on second. What's on third?
Oh, okay.
So clearly you haven't seen that skit.
No, I have seen it.
One of the best all-time skits out there.
Who's on first? I don't know who's on second. What's on third? Okay. And then there's a fourth.
No, who's on first?
Right. Who's not pitching?
Who's on first? Anyway,
I don't know.
It's on third. Who's pitching? Third base. Let's go.
No, he's the outfield. Anyway,
that's right. Shortstop.
Is it what's on second? Was I right?
I don't know.
Yeah, my wife's saying I was right.
No, he plays third.
You guys are questioning me.
Third base. I got it right. No, I don't know. It's the shortstop. We've completely this up. I don't know.
Totally.
Clearly not. Well, I guess you could say I'm not the straight man in this joke.
Hey-o.
I mean, you know, I just love, you know, love the part, you know, where he says, you don't get to tell me what to say.
Yeah, he's like, I've been through hell just whenever I rescued you.
The only reason you're here is because I dragged your heavy ass in here.
Anyway. Yep.
There we go. There we go. There it is.
And Chief's just all stoic. It's like, he's just a man on a mission.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Brohammer's going off on Chief, and Chief's like, well, I see 3 anti-aircraft guns. We'll have to take care of them out. We'll have to take those out first.
It's like, are you even paying attention to me? Yes, I'm trying to save your life. You're not doing a very good job at showing your appreciation for it.
I saved this for this show, specifically this observation, but if you're reading through the books and you look through all the varying different texts involving Chief, especially in H4 at the end, when Chief lost Cortana and he was struggling to manage his emotions.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is by design emotionless. His specific formulation and training requires him to be logical in his assessment of the scenario and what the best outcome is going to be litigiously and strategically for not just he, but also his team. And at the end of Halo 4, there was no team. It was him and Cortana, and only half of his team came home. You saw him talking with Lasky, and he was confused.
He didn't know what to do.
He was significantly distracted. And there was an emotional conflict going on within him. And you saw that reflected in Halo 5, where he was willing to buck the rules and not consistently be constrained by the parameters that were placed upon him by military command.
He wasn't being a good soldier.
And it was one of those kind of, I'm doing this with my team. I'm letting you know as a courtesy so that you can pave the way. If you don't like it, you can basically off, and I don't really care. And that's pretty much where Chief was at. Like, he really didn't care. He wants Cortana back. She's part of his team. She's part of who equals out his humanity. I know, boys.
Mm-hmm.
We all miss Cortana.
And I forget where I saw this. I saw it recently, but wasn't part of his psyche val say that he would basically just continue to do mission after mission?
Right.
Well, that was actually part of Halo 5. During the very beginning of it.
I thought there was different.
Fred actually made mention of it. It was also mentioned in one of the comics.
Mm-hmm. And one of the books.
I'm thinking it was one of the other books that I'm maybe thinking of. But yeah, there's multiple instances.
Equated to his humanity. She balanced out his ratio of compassion and empathy.
Yeah. She was the human side of Chief.
Right. Without her, he's unbalanced, which is why his team is important.
One of the other aspects of the Brohammer and Chief relationship is it is trying to fill that kind of void that's left.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you have Brohammer, who's been tossed around in whatever this war or battle is that's on this ring, and now you have Chief is like, oh no, okay, mission ahead, and this, and Brohammer's just like, I just want to go home and freaking survive after the mayhem we just went through.
Right?
Can you not appreciate that I want to go home?
We can't go home until we stop the banished.
What? Right. Exactly.
At which point he's just like, not like my mouthful. Okay, sure, Chief, whatever you say. And he's like, I want to go find the slip space drive, and Chief's like, nope, it's better for you to stay here. Although given his past history, you would think that Brohammer might know that Chief can probably get a lot done.
But yeah, it's obvious that they're going to use Brohammer to fill that Cortana role.
Who is Brohammer? Is that Foehammer's brother?
Yeah,
it might be. We're not sure. We're not entirely sure. But yeah, so we got the Brohammer and Chief stuff. What else was?
Well, there are no Great Danes in the ring. We can see that obviously inadequacy.
Not yet. Not yet. This podcast just got derailed. He knows Eric Yabu. He knows Eric Yabu. He's just making a joke. This show's going to be a monster to edit. Good thing I have off tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good.
This will be fun editing.
Oh,
Eric Ibu. I know who it is, but I'm trying to figure out why he's not related to Foehammer and Brohammer. Like, there's Brohammer and Foehammer. There's also Mohammer and then Spohammer. And Spohammer, obviously, is just the spoon-based hammer that you use when you are serving things with Kentucky Fried Chicken in the future, because it's a good thing for your rice and for your mashed potatoes. It's like a spooge or a spoon.
A spooge? You know,
the spork. Words.
Spork?
Moving on. Eric Ibu over here is like trying to clock me on shit. Hey, listen. I was attacked and licked by Danes in the mouth. In the mouth.
Sounds dangerous.
I see what you did there. I guess you could say that was a great joke.
Hey.
About a Dane. Since they're great Danes. We're terrible human beings.
Nothing like getting Frenched with it by a dog.
Welcome to our derailed podcast. First the banished, then this.
Ace is even wondering what mayhem they walked into. He's just leaving.
Like, what the heck?
Oh, geez.
I like the way they're portraying the relationship between Chief and Brohammer. We'll eventually find out what his name is.
The pilot, Brohammer, Dustin Echoes, whatever.
There's a little bit of the Johnson relationship and a lot of the Cortana relationship that I think they're going to bring into that character.
Yeah.
As far as the actual gameplay, from what they've showed so far, I like it. At least the Warthog actually sounds like a Warthog again, instead of it sounding like a dragster.
So you're saying the Warthog used to sound like RuPaul?
No.
I'm so confused.
Wrong dragster.
So a Mazda. Totally agree.
You know, at least it does. I like the new sound effects. I was looking at some of the weapons. So far, they haven't shown a BR, which I'm sure it will be in the...
It was in the other trailer.
They have some interesting new weapons that I can't wait to hear more about. They've, I almost don't know if they were placeholder names or if they're actual names. Because I think one of them was, I couldn't read the text very well. But like a VK-7B Commando Tactical Rifle.
Yep. That's one of the new weapons, the Commando Rifle.
Right. And then we have a Pulse Carbine instead of a Pulse mm-hmm. Rifle.
Yep.
There's just the different take on some of the weapons looks interesting. Looks like one of them, they combined a plasma repeater and a needle rifle. Or a bolt shot, almost. Just the way it fires.
You're talking about the Mangler?
I haven't actually gone through and looked at all the names yet.
Yeah, so...
Like I said, I haven't had an opportunity to actually take a real detailed look at the trailers yet, but so this is truly my gut reaction, like I'd be watching it on stream.
Yep. DJ and I have dug into it, so we're kind of letting you get your general reactions out first before we start going head over heels into this thing.
The open world part looks like I'll be interested to see how much stuff they put into the open world. Above and beyond the actual
open world,
above and beyond just the actual campaign, you know, the actual mission parts of it.
Well, you know what they won't be putting into the open world? The 5 amazing tier 1 subs given to Podtacular by Pens Halo. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was good. I was going to get to it at some point, but yeah, Pens just gifted 5 more subs and keeps adding up to my total that I have to. No, it's all good. I have to tabulate that this weekend.
He's got
to
keep doing math.
Oh my God, I'm so far in the back. There's so many gift subs to wade through to get to the front. Oh my God.
Hello.
Welcome back.
It's darkness back here. I know. Penn's Halo.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Hey!
How was your trip to the Grand Canyon? Thing
right now? That's right. As you were saying, go on.
This gets towards the end of the end of the demo. I did notice that I was kind of curious about this before when they announced the Banished, and we had the discussion of how big the Banished actually is. It sounds like that they have teamed up with another sect, Covenant sect, the Harbingers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the way they make it sound like, they make it sound like Atriox is no longer with us.
Well, let's be honest.
But that could be, he could just still be trapped on the Ark. But
most of us have talked, like, have actually addressed the issue with the Harbingers to begin with. There are two versions of the Harbingers. Now, there are the Harbingers from Mass Effect. There's the Harbingers from Battlestar Galactica. Now, if you have Bears, Beats, and Battlestar Galactica, you get back to The Office, which all returns back to reality TV from the early 2000s. So really, it all comes back to Earth. To put this all into perspective, if you have Bears, Beats, Battlestar Galactica, and Harbingers, Kara Thrice was the Harbinger of Death, and according to the Cylons, that's the reason why they brought her back as an angel in the middle of the first pod that she was in. So she's in a Viper. It's the original Viper. So now that we've put all that together, 1 plus 2 minus A equals B squared to the square root of Upsilon, and that means Vipers are coming in for Halo Infinite.
Dodge
I don't
Vipers?
Necessarily math well. I'm just letting you all know this. That might not actually be what it means. According to Halo, definitely not what it means. Thank you for watching the show.
Live updates. Thanks, Jeff.
Way to go.
Okay. Yeah. So what I can... Thank you. I'm glad 343 is... Here's the one thing I can say. The thing that Dustrum and I saw about the audio and its development in the way that sound was created for the game and the way that reflexive sound is utilized, I would definitely say take a look at all the different blogs about the audio development on HaloWaypoint.com for more information about what they have released and how they've created, not only utilizing reflexive sound, but reflective audio tones across, say, a large scape of space. So when you're thinking, if I'm on the other side of a valley, how is that going to sound reflexively? Not only just off of dirt and plant, but also off of potential metals. And as that sound reflects and travels, is that going to affect my long shot versus my short shot? Is it going to affect how I respond to incoming enemies, whether they are at a distance or they happen to be up close because they've used a portal? There are a lot of different audioscapes that are utilized, and I would highly recommend if you go back through and listen to that campaign's, listen to things in the background. Don't listen to the things in the forefront. Go back and listen to the things happening in the background and watch and listen to the reflective and reflexive sounds that occur in that entire trailer to really start getting a grasp on what it is that you're looking forward to as we get closer to the release for the multiplayer premiere, as people get a chance to look at what they have as an opportunity to play as a competitive player in matchmaking and the different elements that are going to change the way gameplay is made for Halo matchmaking moving forward.
I'm looking forward to it.
My PR statement.
Yes.
Tell that to Luke. I'll tell that to Luke when I throw a pie at him. I love that kid. But seriously, though, sometimes I swear to God.
Yep. Yep. He's like the younger sibling that's like, I can't believe you've done this, but I still love you anyways.
Right. I've never wanted to duct tape somebody to a vacuum in my entire life. And then I met Xperia. Nothing says Dyson like Xperia. Not the sphere, the vacuum, because it sucks.
I'm just kidding. I'm just hey. Yeah. Okay. Anything you else, GT?
Go ahead, GT.
I did notice something in the when they were doing showing the open world. I want to know what this weapon is Chief uses to hack the guns.
Yeah, it's called an iPhone, because nobody in Android would be stupid enough to program that.
If you read the text,
it says
Android? Use weapon to hack the controls on the gun.
Yeah. So basically, it's a jailbroken iPhone.
Yeah.
What part? I missed that.
You have to study the open world. And the I did stop there and look at that because I wanted to read what the text said.
Yeah. There was a lot of little text moments. By the way, just as a quick feedback before, because I've already gotten a whisper about it.
Uh-huh.
No, I have no antagonism or animosity towards Hidden Experience. Hidden Experience is one of my favorite people in the whole world. I love him to death. One of my favorite things at Outpost Discovery was watching his fans freak out when they realized they were sitting next to him at the PC engagement. One of the biggest requests from people that we were with was, do you know Hidden Xperia? Well, yeah, I know Hidden Xperia. Of course I know Hidden Xperia. Like, can't we play with him? Well, let me go grab him and see. And watching their faces light up, getting the chance to play next to him, getting the chance to play with him in the same lobby, getting the chance to meet a YouTube icon and legend who is known not just for his opinions, but also known for his passion and zeal and empathy for Halo players worldwide. That is a rarity when it comes to content creators, and Hidden Xperia embodies that level of passion consistently 24/7 across the board. Does that mean we get a chance to make fun of him? Of course it does, because he does the same thing to me. But that's because we're friends, and that's what family does. We keep each other humbled, but under no circumstances should that ever be a consideration that, hey, do we look down on him? Heck no. We elevate, we celebrate, and we 100% support our Halo brothers and sisters who are out there creating amazing content and celebrating the release of this. Whether their opinion is the same as ours, it's not like they're Rage More Nerd. These are real people.
So yeah, there's
hi Rage.
Just to clarify, there's no animosity towards
I love him.
Xperia or any like we're DJ and I are good friends with many of the other Halo influencers that are out there.
We love them all.
Yeah.
So while we may talk a lot of crap, please understand these are our friends. That's what we do. You're half metal. You're not wrong. Also true.
Yeah.
Magnets are my enemy.
So I'm gonna have to look back to see if I can find that weapon hacking thing. I hadn't heard.
Yeah. When you see the cursor go over the gun battery, this is what it says. This AE cannon is controlled by command console inside a control room.
Oh, is this on the TAC map?
Yeah, on the TAC map.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Control room underneath the cannon. Use the weapon to hack into the console and destroy them.
Okay.
The weapon.
Interesting.
And, you know, as you remember in the trailer, there was the same type of reference.
Yeah.
So
you're talking about the chip. Yeah.
Right.
Erkibu. That's a good catch. I hadn't heard that one yet. I've seen a lot of people catching on a lot of small details, but that hadn't seen that one yet.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wanted, because this is the first open world Halo, you know, I really was interested in this TAC map and what kind of information is going to be there.
Yes.
I'll be interested in the menus up there. I really want to see more about the menus.
That whole TAC map was a giant tease.
It was awesome. One massive tease. It was great.
Actually, there's three teases there. Anyway,
at least. There's a lot more than that.
Let's put it this way. There's three really big teases there at the top of the page.
Yes.
That's the only real... I mean, you know, all the rest of the stuff, I'm really interested in. But this is what's really piqued my interest. As to... A, where does this particular section of the campaign take place?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it takes place on the ring.
We got that one, DJ.
No, it takes place on an island on the ring.
That is even closer. In a
building. But where in the story does this...
It takes place surrounded by three anti-air guns.
Yeah.
Start a trend.
Right. As Chief Seal duly noted.
GT.
Yes. Sorry, GT. But, go ahead.
Ish.
Yeah, I like I said, I was just really interested in this TAC map because this is something that hasn't been in a mainline Hangar game. We had it in ODST, which there was a lot of information in that TAC map on ODST.
Yes, it was.
So I'd be interested to see what the finished version of this looks like.
Yeah, I got a lot of ODST vibes when they first showed that off.
Well, if you look, there's a visor mode, too.
Yep.
If you watch.
And I will...
Yes. Yeah, there was.
Let me say this, because I said this at the beginning of my stream today when we were going over this with Brick and with the rest of the Comedy Crew community worldwide and especially the Australian Halo kids. One of the things that we've seen that has been consistent across the Halo franchise is the ability to continue changing how they tell a story and the way in which they tell a story. And when you look at how Bungie has consistently progressed, there's the storytelling process from Bungie's iteration to 343's iteration. It has consistently been different. It has evolved. It has changed. And it has added varying different nuances of storytelling components when you look at this. And when you consider some of the franchise writers like Grim Brother One, who is always at the forefront of changing the way someone tells a story, because if you get used to the way someone tells a story and it's just the same way over and over again, it gets mundane. It gets boring. So changing and evolving how you recreate that storyline verbally, viscerally, experientially, you have to consider the varying different ways they told the story in the past and look at maybe they took the best pieces of all of these different storytelling arcs and mediums and transmedia and opportunities, and they compiled it into one giant framework with which to launch the next legacy that is the Halo franchise. And I think that's what we're looking at. Honestly, I think that's what we're looking at without question.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then there was an interview with IGN?
IGN, yep.
Yeah.
Egan.
Yep. And
Egan.com.
I'd heard of it that way. But Chris Lee told Ryan McCaffrey that this is going to be the last mainline Halo title for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of looking at maybe a games as a service type of game-ish.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the vibe I got. There's a lot of stuff in here that I've been seeing in other games.
And yes. One of the things that I brought up today on the show that I thought was very interesting, when you look and you saw the varying different representations of portals in the artwork and all throughout the background, and then it's not necessarily in the forefront of the technology that you got to see in this initial presentation, but it's part of what makes Halo unique. And when you read the lore and understand the different places and the ways that these rings are connected, because if you look at some of the escape routes, the Forerunners were managed throughout their time. And you look at, hey, I was able to jump from the Ark through to Ring 4, through to Ring 1, through to Wing 3, and then back onto the planet that you wanted to go to. There is a consistent path of escape routes that are locked down during a destruction, but also capability that opens up a capability of creating a walkway and a doorway through many different universes and many different galaxies across this entire opening and opportunity when it comes to Forerunner technology. So when you look at that, and you think in, let's use Destiny as an example. Destiny has many different periods, many different opportunities for expansion. And they use those expansions as a DLC. Now, the problem with Destiny is a wash, rinse, and repeat. Nobody wants to experience a wash, rinse, and repeat. This is Halo. 343 is dedicated to story and passion and competitive play, and PvE is as important as PvP. And they are two completely different lineages of game development, but they have to run parallel to each other. They have to equal each other's representation and presence and importance and value as you're developing a game. If you look at it in that manner, we have one ring. Ask yourself this, for those of you who are lore fanatics, how many rings are left? How many rings do you not know about? Where is the Ark? And more importantly, how do we get to the Dyson Sphere? These are all questions that are unanswered and that are left, in my opinion, deliberately open-ended, because those are the future of the DLCs that this franchise will be developing in the future to add to an amazingly diverse and vastly advanced baseline that Infinite is creating. That's why it's Infinite. It is opening up doorways to varying different DLCs and worlds to expand us years into the future until it's time to create a new baseline. That is where I think this is going. And in all honesty, it's a new direction. It is a new avenue, and it is a new caveat to storytelling that Halo has never ventured into before, and that I 100% celebrate 343 for taking the time and effort to build out and to see, look, how do we tell this differently than anything's ever been done before? And I think they're going to do it, and they're going to do it extravagantly and in a way that we are going to celebrate.
The opening scene for the gameplay demo.
Right?
It was a Forerunner portal.
It was hot. I loved it.
Active Forerunner portal.
Eric Ibu knows all these things. There we go.
So there are
big hugs.
There are lots of places, lots of ways they could expand upon the story. But honestly, I'm not as concerned about that right now.
Right.
What I'm concerned about is this story. How they tell this story. How the whole open world concept works for this game. You know, how they hide secrets, hide skulls, hide data pads or terminals in game, please. There's just so much that is unknown about this particular game model that I really can't wait to get more information on.
Yep. Lots more to come.
I'm laughing at Eric. I'm more concerned about thrusters right now. Really? Allow me to send you to a YouTube page that may give you clickbait information.
No, let's not go there.
It's called myhalo.never. Nobody asked.
Oh, jeez.
Well, that is a big glaring question. They're obviously thrusters? We have advanced. Yes. Obviously, right. We already have the advanced mobility. We've right. already seen it
in the
gameplay demo. Are they bringing the thruster pack, the built-in thrusters back? You know, for your ground pound and your dodge and your Spartan charge.
Yeah, it's been a default level mechanic of the Mjolnir armor since the Thursday Wars.
Like I said, I'm wondering if they're going to bring those particular abilities back, because they did say that they were going to be tuning on those abilities, and some of them may not return
in specific areas of matchmaking.
Well, and
Pentahalo's right. Since the fall of Reach, there we go. If it's a default mechanic, it should be in campaign. If people want it removed from matchmaking, well, that's fine. They're more than welcome to complain about that. And I would definitely make something remark that something yourmom.com. Tinkerbell is my friend.
I'm looking forward to the way they've tuned these abilities and the changes they've made to them.
Yeah. I mean, it's matchmaking. If it's not Griffball, then I say go for it. Make it harder for them, because otherwise I'm going to have to go crying it into ranked, and then I'll end up, you know, fighting against Eric Rona, and it's going to be me and Snipe down, and I might lose the match. Eric Rona. For those of you watching the podcast, air quotes, I might lose the match. He's going to wipe the floor with me. It's going to be me and just Pistola goofing. It'll be Pistola and I goofing off in a corner. That's what's going to happen. I've got a hammer. No, I've got a hammer. I've got a hammer. You're going to get a hammer. It's going to be like two puppies arguing. And then Rona is going to come by and just snipe us both in the face. That's a lie. Pistola will give him a run for his money, but that's just, you know.
I have to say, I love the new suicide grunt.
The suicide grunts, dude. Have you ever seen a grunt toss before? I've never seen that in my life. He tossed not one, but two grunts like.
So the first grunt actually jumped on his own. The second one, the brute actually punched the grunt.
Well, I thought he threw him.
No, he punched him. The brute undercut him from the back, and the grunt flew. Unless the framing just happened to be where the grunt jumped and it looked like he punched him, but If not, yeah, the brute punched the grunt towards you. And he said, go dive for the banished.
Right? The whole thing terrified me. All I could think of was, wow, it's like WWE, but for grunts. It's like gruntacular. Ooh, could we get that?
I'm just happy the spike grenades are
gruntacular. Oh, what?
We've got a resident grunt.
There we go. Totally.
Gruntacular! I love it! I like to fly! Chickens can fly, turkeys can barely fly, but grunts, we have grenades! Let's go!
I feel like that'll never make it into a game. Anyways.
Never say never.
Moving on.
Would you like to add anything else, GT, before we move
on to the next piece of the puzzle?
Right, right.
I think that's where I'm going to stop.
45 minutes behind.
Okay.
90 minutes later. Did we not already just dig into the details?
So for the last part of the show, we're going to dive into... I'm thinking about we break the gameplay demo up into three or four different chunks, looking at the story in which we find the specific campaign demo, the more technical stuff, so like the weapon sandbox, the movement mechanics, and we'll kind of break other things up from there.
Can I throw a few pieces of perspective into this layout?
Sure.
There's a reason why whenever Halo or 343 Industries gives us the pieces of the puzzle that they do, whether it's the sandbox training or the game pieces that they've allowed for flight training, that they've allowed us for on-stream flighting of varying different games. For example, when it came to Reach, the specific elements that were provided for Reach on PC were done so because they involved the majority of the widest array of opportunities for weapons, vehicles, interactions, and a varying array of environmental locations. The reason behind this is because you get to test as much as possible with a limited scope and a limited availability of the game. So you only unlock a specific small core piece of elements in order to do that. The reason a game developer does this is in order to try and test out the majority of the opportunities while framing it inside of the minimal amount of exposure. That means you can go through and use just Covenant weapons, just UNSC weapons. You can go through and use just Covenant vehicles, just UNSC vehicles, but you do it within a very limited landscape of opportunity so that you're not giving away the farm and not allowing people to get outside of what you're capable of testing within and capable of observing those test results within. So with the demo that they provided us, there's nothing even remotely close to legitimacy of us being able to see anything relating to a storyline or otherwise. Chief Crashlands, congratulations. Neat. Who hasn't crashlanded? Who hasn't? I've crashlanded. Godzilla T's crashlanded. Deathstorm and I once crashlanded in a parking lot for a Taco Bell.
We did?
Well, we were chasing GT. He stopped at the pizza joint, so we had to go back.
Okay.
Well, what?
Chicago style pizza. It's a good thing. Deep dishes.
I have kind of crashed at a
into Taco a Taco Bell. Go on. I want to hear more.
Do tell.
Well, this kind of involves some deer and
okay.
A beer fight.
Deer? Did you say deer?
Beer.
So, well, Halo no deer. Deer.
Had the people at the counter looking at my father very strangely. We were kind of working late at my dad's shop, and the adults decided to get into a beer fight. I know.
Lovely.
We had a small word of prayer afterward afterwards because of all the lost beer.
There is so much more to this story that I really want to create a cosplay from.
Yes.
Hey, Frizzle.
All right, Frizzle's in the house.
Welcome.
All right, let's go.
So, yes, just to reiterate what DJ is saying, anything that we see during the campaign demo is not necessarily what we'll see in the final version of the game.
Is all subject to change.
Yeah, this is true. It's a demo.
With that said, there are some implications that we can make, taking with a grain of salt, that it could change.
Yeah.
So we'll leave it at that as far as story and gameplay elements go. I mean, for the most part, there's probably going to be a lot that we saw today that will still be in the game. Obviously, they're not going to rip out massive chunks, but there'll be little minute changes from what we see today to the end game. And the first thing I want to address, because this has gone around a lot and it's been kind of disproven or corrected by other community members who have done their work.
Oh, really?
A lot of people were saying that the lighting and the textures looked very plasticky or didn't look very good. Some people actually went
scalp line.
Well, that's a separate topic. but there have been a few other people in the community who have actually gone and added some effects to or gone to Photoshop and cleaned things up. And you can actually see the detail in and textures that wasn't shown off in this demo. And that could be a number of different reasons. It could be that
the fact that it's a demo.
Yep. Well,
that too.
Also, why would you launch a demo with your final product? Anybody in marketing or PR understands that you never want to actually release your final product in a release that represents that product. You want to continue improving upon it. So yeah, if they have a final product, sure, they probably pulled, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 different layers of detail out of it in order for it to look presentable, but not be representative of the final product, because then you're impressed by the final product.
Well, I'm impressed with what they've got here, because what they've got here looks better than Halo 5.
But my encouragement to the world who is watching is...
Ben says logic not allowed.
Right? This logic is why I'm not allowed on YouTube, is because I think logically.
Pins, there wasn't any confirmation that it's an old build, but just by the fact that it's a demo, they had to branch it off the main game at some point. So, depends on your definition of old.
Right. So, for example, if you took my streams from Mixer and you were to go back and watch them, or I was to present them as if they were new content, of course I would pull off several layers of detail, dim it down, blow out the resolution, add hair, you know, do things that prove that it wasn't necessarily indicative of the time that we're in. And then look what happens. Hey, dolphin, smooth, pretty, and shiny. So good, so hot. Now.
Back on Twitch.
Now. Right, now on Twitch. Not TV. / whatever. The point is, they are not looking to give you the final product. They're looking to give you a teaser. They teased it. They gave you a baseline. They gave you a basic. And I guarantee you this, if I were in charge of marketing, PR, representation, and influencer relations, the first thing I would do would be to watch what channels decide to start picking apart the bullshit. Picking apart the details like, oh, it didn't look finished. It didn't look finalized, blah, 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 blah.
You know, it'd be interesting.
Separating them from the people who are celebrating the exceptionally advanced mechanics that have developed and evolved from Halo 5 and Halo Wars 2, and how they were able to merge two completely different worlds from an FPS and an RTS into one consistent and consolidated gameplay. Those content creators would be the people that I probably, I don't know, be giving early access to, or I don't know, be following, or I don't know, be maybe sharing in any type of a community of post updates. I'm not trying to be attitudinal. I'm just simply saying it might be nice to be nice for once, people. Try it. It's fun.
I like the new shield bar.
Right?
Yeah. The HUD was very simplistic. And before we move on, I wanted to add one thing to DJ's comment. Maybe they intentionally dialed things back to see what the community wanted on top of that. And maybe some of that stuff's already in place. And they just said, let's see if the community wants it. And then it's just, for them, we already did this, flip of a switch.
Yep. And I will say this without question. There's a reason why these are the professionals. If other people were capable or qualified of being game developers and a AAA title of this magnitude with this level of detail and influence representative of the community, they'd have hired. If they didn't, I guess this means you're not qualified. I appreciate your opinion, but please shut up. That being said, I was at the Halo Wars 2 launch. I was there at 343 when we launched the product. Like, I was at the Microsoft stores when we launched the day one product. I had the product 2 weeks in advance. Back, and that was the final set of streams I did on Twitch before I went back to Mixer, before I came back to Twitch 3.5 years later. So I understand why and what goes into that mindset. I also understand, for example, like what we released for information moving forward, looking into, for example, Halo Outpost Discovery. I know why we didn't say many things. What we did say and why we said it the way we said it, there's a reason. There's always a reason. And I've never in my life had to learn about attention, even in the military. Attention to detail was something that we learned. Attention to detail, reasoning, and marketing is a different applicable skill set that developers have to utilize when looking at the larger marketing machine and how that applies not only to the gamers, but also to the investors and the producers and the company that oversees all of that umbrella that pays for it to be distributed. These are all applicable parts of the process and equation that go into why they do what they do. And if there are people out there with an opinion of, hey, it could have been done like this, I guarantee you there was already a reason why they thought about that and didn't go that direction, because it wasn't viable in the long run. Let them do their jobs. Let them create the vision that they wanted to create. And then once it's out in full, sure, have an opinion about it. But understand they spent years crafting and curating and perfecting their vision to give us this. Let them do their jobs, people. Let them do their jobs.
And we'll get stuff. This is going to be progress. This is going to be progress. So there's going to be multiple beats along the way from here to launch that they're going to try to hit. So the storyline that we have so far in the campaign demo itself, 5,767 days after they lost, quote unquote. We don't know how far the E3 demo.
79. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. We don't know how long the E3 trailer from last year is after we lost. So it's hard to know where exactly what we saw today will take place within the overall confines of the game's story.
Yep.
Or how much of that will transition. Obviously, a fair chunk of it will. But ish. Yeah, ish. We met Escherim for the first time. We finally know his name. That was over on the Halo Waypoint article that Chris posted. If you guys haven't checked that out, I'll go ahead and drop a link in the Twitch chat. But yeah, the Bruf War Chief Escherim. There are two other words that I picked up on. The controlling the auditorium. And then they've teamed up with the Harbinger.
Yes. Kara Thrice, also known as Starbuck.
Going back to that again. So, yes. Other elements of the story that we don't know of yet.
Apollo is making his grand entrance. This is during their 2 years while they were on New Earth, or Earth 2. Yeah. Before they escaped what was left of the Cylon Empire. Go ahead.
I was going to make a reference to another TV show, but never mind.
Go ahead. No. This is good. This is productive.
TJ's going to enjoy you two tormenting me on things that I don't know about.
Wow. Godzilla T and I would have a great summer just doing.
Like, I'm sure at some point we just need to have an episode that's just you two. I will just sit back. You two can go for it. And I'll just edit the dang
you
thing.
You guys remember when Chief was looking at the big hologram of all the UNSC forces?
Yes.
It's interesting that every single one of those says Infinity.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all Infinity crew members. So if you look closely, you'll see some have ODST insignias, some have ONI insignias. They all have ranks. You can probably sleuth out some of the names if you really got in there.
Or maybe if I had a 4K monitor.
Also true.
I just happen to have one of those.
And if you look very carefully.
I'm taking donations, like if you want to send me one, go right ahead.
There you go. Now, if you look very carefully behind Chief Summon, and it's only seen for a split second, it looks like it could potentially possibly be, be a little bit of a sunspot, even though J.J. Abrams didn't have anything to do with this. What you will see is Starkiller Base. The fact is Star Wars and Halo are in the same universe.
Why do you do this?
What? Because at the end of the day, we all know what was written on those knives on his neck. It said, live long and may the odds be ever in your favor. No? Am I wrong?
I have to tell you that the...
I don't have any evidence to say you're wrong, I guess.
If this
can't confirm you're right either, though.
Oh, wait, that was Star Trek and the Hunger Games. Damn it.
Wrong series, man.
Oh, I'm keeping us on target. Let's go. As you wish.
So I'm trying to look at one of these.
The brute at the end here. Mm-hmm. I want to comment on this. Escher. When they go to the live shot of it, they fade into the live shot away from the hologram. If this is the dumbed down graphics, oh my God. When we get the real stuff, that guy is going to give me freaking nightmares.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, think about this. H2A was how many years ago? And look how crazy the Gravemind was. When they step up those graphics, the Banished are going to be as terrifying, if not more terrifying, than they were in H2A. And anybody who saw that opening sequence when we were demoing Halo 2, Halo Wars 2, when we were demoing Halo Wars 2, and we got that original demo, and all of us who had early access were only allowed to play a specific set of missions. We went through those cutscenes like over and over and over again. Every single time you got to the Banished base and you got to meet Atriox, it was terrifying. And that was how many years ago?
Right.
What do you think they got now?
Blur too.
That is true. Where this is all in game. But that is to the game's credit.
Looking at what's here, just what's here so far, it's going to be freaking wicked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it already is wicked. Like I said, if this is the dumbed down version, the finished version, boom.
Right.
Get your diapers ready, kiddies.
Just to go back to all of the FFF, the IFF tags from the hologram that you're talking about, GT.
Uh-huh.
Looks like there is name, serial number, there's blood type.
Blood type, as in, like, it's out of their body versus it's in their body, or it's on the wall, it's inside of a
It's on the
limb.
Wall, the floor, the ceiling.
It's a little here, there's a little there. It's somehow in quadrant 4. This guy's all across the balustrade. We don't even know where his ankle is. That's just,
It would be the pertinent information that would be on any set of dog tags.
Yeah, it's basically virtual dog tags. There's surname, there's first name and last name, there's some other kind of number on there.
Wait, what? The Huragok have been busy on Brohammer's Pelican.
Organization, rank, they also have their position, so like there's one that's core sciences.
Okay.
And so yeah, basically, again, like I said, Penn's virtual dog tags.
We also don't know who fed that information in. The number one thing that made the Banished survive and that they were so good at was disinformation.
Well, I'm guessing those are like actual friend or foe tags that are floating out there. But
what would be better than to throw the entire community off by showing what the Banished showed Master Chief in order to break his will? In order to break his understanding of what he had at his,
I see
at
what you're
his delivery.
I see what you're saying, but
well, this speech.
I don't think in this case, like maybe that's what they're trying to convey from just a narrative perspective. But I think with those specifically, that's probably like the Pelican scanning for UNSC dog tags and actually finding them out in space. Unfortunately,
right?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and then you've got this Banished guy. Who's got an attitude? And he wants to come at everybody and say, come, fight me!
That speech was pretty dang impressive.
And I'll be honest, I've had similar speeches that I've made like that, usually when I was hungry, and I feel like he's definitely the epitome of hangry. So, what are the chances he just hasn't had good shawarma lately? I mean, we saw what it did for everybody in Avengers. Why, maybe we just feed him, bring him some barbecue. Maybe we teach him how to cook for himself. Maybe He likes sushi. Or he just needs cheese. Everybody likes cheese. I can't because it'll make me fart. But what if it doesn't make him fart? What if he actually likes it? Maybe gas is a way of flirting with his people. And maybe that's how he gets to his next marriage with children. So we feed him some good gorgonzola, maybe a little gouda, because it's gouda for the soul. And all of a sudden, the problems are solved. I don't know. Maybe we can solve with violence what we could do with cheese. All sorts of options are on the table. Nothing is off the table. I feel like these are potentials. This is also how I lost my ability to be a host on this show. Watch.
So we're announcing a new opening for the podcast.
Anyways, sorry, go on.
As the third window can be yours for the low, low price of... Anyway, the animosity this character is showing towards Chief.
Right, is hardcore.
It is. And it's hope blatant that is hatred. Part of fangs. The original story. I hope that that continues to be a part of the story.
It's like he respects the Chief, but he wants... against
Chief.
Well, and we also don't know what time frame this is in.
Yeah.
It's like it's not necessarily a grudge.
Oh, that's definitely vengeance. He
wants vengeance against Chief.
Right, but I don't think it's from a grudge to come perspective. One-on-one
and just bring it.
It seems more from a perspective of, okay, this is another fight that I can win.
He specifically says this is his last fight.
Yeah, I mean, if it was just just another battle, he'd have said, "Griffball me 1v1, let's go."
Maybe it'll happen in the end.
But anyway,
we do see, so in the cinemagraph, we do see him holding a hammer in Chief's visor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we know hammers are in, we know swords are in, we know the majority of our weapons are in, plus reinventions of older versions. And, you know, we mentioned that earlier today on the show. We mentioned that earlier today on our other shows that there's a whole bunch of what looks to be derelict versions of ships and older versions of ships that are more indicative of Halo Wars 2. And it's important that people keep in mind the lineage and the lore. People wanted to take like, hey, that's not what a Phantom should look like. In a traditional Covenant stance, no. The Banished piece together their crap show of a fleet from leftover parts of things that were destroyed. These are ancient relics. And they've heavily
modified their stuff, too.
They've modified their crap, pulled it together, augmented it with Forerunner technology that they've stolen, and may, in some cases, not realize the power of, or in some cases, do realize the power of. That's the scarier part. So everybody was like, ew, it looks older, it looks crampy. Well, of course, because they're junkers. That's what these guys do. They're junkers.
Scavengers.
They scavenge the galaxy looking for crap they can turn into something that they can utilize to fight humanity and specifically hunt down the Master Chief.
So I want to read these couple comments because I think these actually really sum up. So Ercubus says, the speech was great because it seemed to show respect for the Master Chief. He wants to kill the legend himself. And then Pin says, not sure if it's personal, which I agree with. I think he wants to measure himself against the best.
Ooh,
and he sees Chief as the best and knows that only one of them is walking away from the fight.
So where the hell's the Arbiter? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I bring up a weird caveat or pinhole in the storyline?
I don't...
It'll be interesting to see how they work that in.
Because the rest of that in there, yeah.
There are two people who've always fought back-to-back, side-to-side, and the Arbiter...
He may be having his own issues still.
You're right.
We don't know. That's still one of those unknowns within the story. That's the one thing. Like,
what they're showing is, for one, we don't know how much of it actually reflects the actual story. Two, we don't know where this particular section is in the overall story. This could be halfway through the game.
Yep.
Yeah, it could.
This could be the end of the game.
Or the DLC for the game that you have to access by completing certain accomplishments and or, I don't know, sacrificing something or someone.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things up in the air on it.
Maybe in order to unlock the hammer and this entire caveat, you have to eat a raw egg. from one of those awkward looking bird things. You got to hunt down a mountainside in order to get that. Maybe they have blue milk. Maybe it's the same place Luke Skywalker was. I feel like all of those are possibilities. Also, light swords. You call them lightsabers. I simply call them how to properly stir drinks and boil them at the same time. None of that is important. Moving on.
So the next, or the last kind of story-related piece I want to talk about, and maybe this kind of digs a little bit more into the technical sandbox stuff of it, but the TAC map. So just with the environment and with that, definitely has the open world vibe to it. So being able to kind of, and DJ, you actually nailed this pretty solidly when we had our discussion right after the live stream, but being able to go from an open world perspective and do different missions and objectives and being able to jump around and do different things on the ring, maybe depending on how much you've progressed or what you've unlocked. One of the things that popped up on the TAC map when they were hovering over the different anti-air turrets were some different icons. So looks like there were possibly experience points. There were difficulty icons for certain things. Mm-hmm. There were unlockables. So it seems like there's going to be a little bit more dynamic to how you actually play the traditional campaign experience for the game.
Yeah. There's I'm really interested. Yeah, I'm really interested in this unlock system that they've got and what you'll unlock.
The upgrades, yeah.
I'm looking forward to hearing more about that.
I mean, that could be a lot of different things. That could be armor upgrades, weapon upgrades, the equipment upgrades, vehicle upgrades. Yeah. I mean, anything can be upgradable.
Well, like I said, it all depends on if it's focused solely on PvE or if it affects PvP too. That's the part I'm really looking for. As opposed to PvP 1?
Sorry? What did you say, DJ?
I said as opposed to PvP 1? Sorry. He said PvP 2. And I'm like, wait, what is
number
PvP 2,
one? Not number 1. Number two.
PVPP. Wait, what? Damn
it. No, I went.
Sorry, I've got puppies
in the PP two.
There we go. PP three. That's CP 3O. Wait. Back to Star Wars.
But yeah, I agree with you, Dust. I like so far what they're showing with the TAC map. I kind of like the layout. I'm sure there's going to be more added to it. We've only seen basically what looks like the first page or just a page of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was, you could move back and forth with your bumpers. Of course, we don't know how far. So there's probably going to be other things we'll be able to access through that. I do like, as far as the mechanics and what they're showing so far, the markers.
Keep going.
Walk like an Egyptian.
We're two-stepping.
You know, your pointers towards your different objectives I like. Some of the previous versions have had a pretty obtruse and annoying marker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was nice. It was just kind of a little marker up in on the screen.
Yeah.
The HUD was very simplified.
It's not in your face like some of the others.
I will say this, and I said this before, and everybody said, don't oversell it. And I said, I'm not. I'm giving it my opinion. In my opinion, it's going to change the way games are developed moving forward. And I believe that to be true, and here's why. You have a legendary legacy of first-person shooters that has been established since the dawn and inception of Xbox in the world, 19 years ago. In the process of its evolution and its development, as it's changed hands from Bungie to 343 and moved houses throughout Microsoft Games Studios, we've watched it continue to evolve and become something more, become something larger, and become something grander, and become something more in-depth and more detailed and more luxurious, as well as something consistently more competitive and harder to master each and every time. We now have watched two great houses, two great divisions of the same house, Halo Wars and Halo Wars 2, an unprecedented top-down RTS. I was never a fan of the top-down RTS game. I still don't play top-down RTS, but I'll play Halo Wars 2 in a heartbeat.
Same.
I loved it so much more than Halo Wars 1. Halo Wars 1, I didn't get. When I tried to play it, I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. It wasn't until Mike Wolf taught me how to play it at 343 one day. I was like, I was up there for something else, and Mike was like, hey, sit down. I'll show you how to do this. I was like, all right, well, there
we go. That's cool.
And I figured it out. And then the HW2 team was like, no. Well, have you played number 2 yet? I was like, well, no, it's not even remotely out. I was like, yeah, sit down, hang on. And we learned it. And it was great. And I loved it. I love Halo Wars 2. Mm-hmm. You have this great representation of top-down RTS in a brand new mode that represents the mythology and the background and the ethos of the Halo franchise on one side. You have an FPS that is developed from a single motion option. No sprint, just running in CE. There's a bug. Not in the game in front of me. Sorry. And then as you progress, you get armor ups, you get abilities, you get sprint limited, and you get sprint full on. Then you get advanced movement mechanics. You've got grappling. You've got ground pounds and thrusters and all these different capabilities that enable you to do something different in game that you've never been able to do before, but get you one step closer to being the same kind of Spartan that you read about in the books, in the lore, in the stories that you have become immersed in imaginatively when you're reading through all these different elements. And you've taken both great houses on the same continent, and they have successfully managed for the first time ever in a franchise to merge both and create one new hierarchy of understanding and of development to bring the best of both worlds into something brand new that people have never seen before. That is why I have said for over a year now, it will change the way games are developed moving forward, in my opinion. And I think we are seeing the future of gaming in the way they're doing this, by seeing multiple different aspects appealing to multiple different styles of gaming, different styles of gamers, different styles of immersion, whether you are in there for the storyline, you're in there for the competitive play, whether you prefer PvE and dynamic engagement, or whether you prefer PvP with your friends in a multiplayer engagement, all in the same universe, on the same ring, in the same environment. This is why there are infinite possibilities with Halo Infinite.
Yep. And there's a lot of speculation out there that this is 343 basically soft booting the franchise. With a new engine and,
yes,
like you said, kind of merging the first person shooter and the RTS stories finally together, we're seeing a lot of interesting dynamics coming into
Infinite. Already very obvious that this is a major reset on the game.
It's great. We also haven't considered and talked about the time quotient either.
Yeah.
Like, you got to think about anything that we've read, and those of us who've read the lore understand why time works different. For example, in a Dyson sphere, in different elements or different arenas or different areas within the ring, time operates differently based on how that area was mastered, created, or what its purpose is, whether it's designed for any type of a slip space bubble. We don't know whether or not what we're seeing in Chief, the things that we've seen, the future that he experiences are varying different temporal portals within that time quotient to matter, or at least to differentiate or siphon that storyline as a vision of things that may come as a reason to go back and go, God, we can't do that. We can't go there. Everything at this point is up in the air. We watch Star Trek rebuild their storyline. We've watched Star Wars doing their storyline. I think anything at this point is possible, and we've got to leave it open and allow them to tell their story in an organic way that allows them to get their creativity off the ground in a way that we can read through and enjoy. And then once we've gotten through it, we can go back and critique it, provide feedback, or maybe add to it. Who knows? But I think we have to give them the opportunity and the autonomy to do so. as a franchise and as a team of creatives before we ever give them instructions or directives of, as a community, you know, before they've had a chance to present what they really made.
Yeah. Although you do make a valid point. It might be a little over the heads of the casual players to introduce those kinds of mechanics, but we will see what happens.
They don't even own t-shirts that say Halo. What is with them?
I don't think it's going to be that bad, honestly.
No. So. I don't. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is something for the hardcore lore nerds to definitely be aware of.
Everything's possible.
Yes. Especially in this franchise.
Yes.
So you mentioned the advanced mobility and some of the mechanics there. So let's go ahead and touch on those. So we saw the drop shield.
Yep.
Well, that really was cool. Equipment.
Yeah.
The big semicircular shield.
I'm kind of wrapping it all together. So.
Oh yeah, got it. Sorry.
Work with me here. So yeah.
Well, I like the inclusion of equipment.
Yep. Ditto. Which, I agree.
You know, some of the abilities that they've used in the past that were part of the Spartan armor, I think work better as equipment, like the bubble shield, things like that.
Yes. Spartan fart. I mean, Spartan charge. Also true.
Do they?
I don't know. Honestly, I didn't, in the beta, I didn't have a problem with Spartan charge because you had to be smart with it.
Yes.
You couldn't just run at someone and kill them. Yep, because if you ran straight at them, if you took, and you had to time your melee right, if you melee, you'd kill them. But in the final game, they took that away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I realized it was too much of a powerhouse. And we watch people do that in Griffball constantly. You see somebody Spartan charge at you and you bounce out of the way, turn on and whack them, which is great.
Yep.
I like whacking people.
So yeah, drop shield's an interesting one because it looks like it's one way. You can shoot through it, but you can't. It'll actually take fire and certain pieces of the drop shield will dissipate.
Which is a little more realistic. To be honest.
Yeah.
You throw up an energy field. As it's taking impact, you're just degrading what you have there until it drops, which means you can't just stand behind it and run at it. You can't just stand behind it and expect to save you. You have to be thinking on your feet consistently and continuously from a strategic standpoint and reposition, in some cases, wrap or rotate in order to maintain tactical advantage on your enemies, whether they are PvEs or PvPs.
Other equipment we saw, the grapple hook.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a better advantage for getting up and out and away from things. It also gives you a little bit more exploratory opportunity.
Yes. Yes, it does. You
saw clamber was in there.
You saw clamber. There was sprint, although it looks like sprint has been really reduced. Doesn't look like it gives you too much of a speed boost now with sprint. So... It'll be interesting to get hands-on with that and see how it feels.
Intimidation was not included, which I was really sad about. That was one of my write-ins for feedback on the game, was intimidation. So you could look at people really snarkily and have them run away from you, and I figured that'd be a good intimidation factor for the grunts. That's obviously not in the game.
Grunts are fearless, man.
They are kind of cool, though. I want to have one as a friend.
Right. There's plenty of Halo stories that with them, so...
Well, it's also something that's not touched on in the storyline. We also are seeing just the Banished. What if Chief's armada of compatriots are not just human?
There's some Ungoy in the narrative that side with the Sangheili.
And the Sangheili, who are very much on the side of the humans, that don't want any part of the religious zealotry. And I'm really intrigued to see if that's something we see come to fruition in part of the opportunities to develop relationships with other species off-world and make it more of a dynamic ethics risk versus reward gameplay in how you progress, because it could unlock varying different arcs of storylines and interactivity and research and education understanding of these varying different species that a lot of us are really intrigued by.
Yeah, it's definitely room for, dare I say, DLC?
Deep learning content.
No, I mean, that, yes, that works too. What else do we have? We have, you can throw fusion coils now.
Noob right, cubes. That was actually awesome.
Noob cubes.
I've tried to start shooting things like when I'm on legendary, things that I know are explosive and backing up and shoot, and I'm terrible at it, but I'm getting better. But being able to pick that up and just toss it at somebody like, hey, catch. Oh, I'm sorry. Did that kill you? My bad.
Shout out to Mr. Mayhem. I am Mr. Mayhem. Will over from the HCS Pro Talk is in our chat tonight.
Willala.
Hello.
We talked about this a little bit earlier, but yeah, we thought about upgrades could apply to any myriad of things, whether it be weapon upgrades, vehicle upgrades, armor upgrades, which could include any of the things like grapple hook or... So yeah, it we don't know at this point. It very well could be.
Vehicle upgrades like stereos, Blu-ray, Bluetooth.
Right. Bluetooth, if we look weapons. At Halo 5, you could consider all the different rec variants upgrades to weapons.
Right.
So there's a lot of different things that could be upgraded.
Super
within
Fiesta
the sandbox.
Confirmed.
That'd be so cool. So cool.
Can you imagine a Super Fiesta campaign game style where everybody just gets random weapons? Every time you die, you respawn with something completely different. And all the enemies have something completely different every single time. And they're just as confused as you are.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
That would be.
I did see what I thought was a new grenade. I know that's not really on the
we're kind of spitballing at this point.
But
yes, there was like a looked like kind of a shock grenade of some kind. Yeah, this was in the campaign teaser, not the 8-minute demo. Right. But yeah, through something that bounced, and then it looked like it was chain reaction to a couple different enemies.
I was hoping for a giggle grenade personally, and then you could have watched everybody laugh while you ran by.
I mean, it still could happen. I mean, maybe right? That electric shock is enough to
to tickle in all the right ways.
There you go.
Sorry.
I'm just thinking all the custom games that are going to involve throwing fusion coils.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
Fusion coil griff ball.
Oh my
god. What if you were able to pick up and throw Spartans with the ball? You can't throw the ball, but you could throw Spartans with the ball and griff ball and then launch them with hammers. Wow, now I have ideas. Awkward. All right.
TJ's going to be making a few phone calls tonight.
Right? I'm making
That'd be
phone
interesting
calls
to make tonight. To make a griff ball field where you could throw fusion coils at each other. That's like griff ball evolved.
I feel like, what if the field was made out of fusion coils?
you pick them up underneath your...
You can only walk across it because if you run, your impact is hard enough that it blows it up. So you have to walk slowly and be very cautious before you drop it and know that you have to jump backwards because you'll blow everybody up if you drop your hammer. It's basically like whisper ball. That's a terrible idea. I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah. Anyways. So other weapons and stuff that we saw the spike grenade come back.
Yes, right. That's a good thing.
Got plasmas and frags. We have the AR, which actually looks pretty good. A new magnum. There's the plasma pistol. There's the plasma carbine, which you mentioned earlier, GT.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the needler in action. There's a new rifle called the Commando. Looks like a SCAR type of a weapon. We saw the Ravager, which was kind of the explosive incendiary cannon looking weapon.
When I go into battle, I always go commando.
There was the, what was the Mauler lookalike? Crap.
The Maulette? Oh.
No, you can't actually ask me for this, and I remember what it was in his stream. The Mangler. Looks like almost like a spike revolver or some kind of revolver projectile type thing.
It's a lot like the Mauler, except for it holds more rounds. The projectile looks like it has a little bit more range on it than the Mauler did.
We saw an energy sword.
Uh huh. Don't forget the Bulldog.
And the Bulldog.
Oh, I love the Bulldog.
Yep. New shotgun type thing. Doesn't look like it does a lot of damage.
The drum fed shotgun.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And another interesting little tidbit, if you're over a weapon for long enough, you'll actually see little help text underneath that tells you what kind of weapon it is. It kind of gives you a category. So it'll tell you if it's an energy weapon or a kinetic weapon, or it'll tell you if it's a fully automatic or a single shot. It tells you if it's long range, short range, tactical, that kind of stuff. So a little more helpful text for maybe some newer folks into the game, or even veteran Halo players that are just trying to figure out what the weapon does. So I thought that was very helpful. On the AR, there's the little weapon mode dial. Don't know if that's going to be something that we can utilize in the game, from going from like automatic to semi-automatic to single shot. I'm just kind of running through stuff since we're kind of getting late. We saw an instance, and shout out to Duquesne for doing the detective work on this. I don't know if you saw this one, DJ, or not, but when the player was in the Warthog and ran over the grunt,
yeah,
that was suiciding, the front wheel came off, and the Warthog still drove.
Well, I mean, if you're leaning towards the rear right corner and the front left corner comes off, I understand that. I mean, you can do that technically in a Ford or most Chevys, not necessarily in a Mazda. Their balance is off because they use a car chassis.
Freaking gearheads.
The one thing I did like about the Warthog, them driving it around, is that it looked, you know, from what I see, it looks like the vehicle has weight.
Mm-hmm. It bounces really well.
The past couple of Warthogs have been real floaty. You run over a pedal and it flips you over. This one looks like it, you know, it has some real weight to it.
Yes. Which we've seen a lot of things, because the E3 trailer from last year showed Chief with weight on in the Pelican. So, yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's interesting to see that parts of vehicles can fall off and it still works. Same thing with the Brute armor. If you see when Chief is walking up the approach to the elevator, the Brute's armor actually came off piece by piece, depending on where you shot the Brute. And in one instance, the player was shooting the Brute in the foot and you saw the Brute trip up. So there's a lot more interaction there with how you shoot an enemy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right? We don't know anything about said potential audio test that you may or may not be referring to.
It's the buggy from the sound test. What? It's the buggy. Oh. No, he's just saying he thinks the Warthog sound is the buggy from the...
It could be. Oh, that! Okay, there we go.
It could be.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, which all those... They're not doing them anymore, or they're stopping for the time being, but all of those audio field Saturdays or sound mm-hmm. Saturdays, sound design Saturdays, from the yep. audio field test recordings.
Yes, those, yes. Okay, that's referred to. Perfect! Awesome, yes, in that respect, sure. Totally. And unfortunately, it proved that sound does not destroy COVID. That is unfortunate.
Kevin brings up a good point. He wonders if the Warthog might handle differently with different amount of players in it.
Possible.
Ooh.
I mean, with the steam engine, they may be able to use that to adjust physics.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also really intrigued to be able to take the Warthog out and to roll through the forests and look into the wildlife arenas. Take a look at some of the catalog's creatures, some of those that we saw in the original trailer. Like, there's obviously an extraordinarily expansive arena for us to explore as we mm-hmm. roll into Halo Infinite on that ring and various other places, obviously, that we're intended to go. And I think, I know this is going to sound cheesy, but again, the possibilities are infinite. The possibilities are endless.
Like, yeah, it really
there
is.
There are so many different... Wow, those boys are loud. There are so many different directions that we can go with this, and I'm excited to see the different directions they allow us to go. Even in the beginning, before we get into the advanced and more detail unlocked arenas that they are planning for us, future bound in years to come, once we've mastered or gotten tired of the ones they give us originally, which I don't think we will for years to come.
Yeah.
At least not me. I'm not good enough to kill everything.
We saw the Shade Turret.
Yep.
And it has shields on it. that regenerate too, which is really cool. We saw the giant fusion coil.
Right.
The one that the player tried to stick and didn't explode. A lot of people made note of the new and classic grunts in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So merging those two different armor styles or what have you kind of into the sandbox, which is cool.
Looks like at least in the campaign demo, they went with the classic elites.
Yes. The more bungee style ones, yep. Anything else that...
Ooh, Chief's armor is green.
Rohammer still hasn't washed his face.
Also true.
He's got that nice little grease smear over his eyebrow. Right? I'm trying to think if there's anything else in the demo. I can't think of any other pieces that we... I mean, obviously, there's a lot on the TAC map to break down. I think we kind of covered basics of it.
Well,
we
need to kind of wait for a little bit more detail on that.
Well, and I think it'll be interesting to see in the next week what comes out from some of the more scrutinous observations. Obviously, we're all tired as all hell here.
Right. We might come back with more next week.
Yeah, after we get some... And I will say this. I say this with all respect. There are, while I always will say, yeah, there's some people with terrible opinions out there. There's also some extraordinarily observant and scrutinous Halo fanatics who are extreme fans that can pull apart a video and see things or hear things that the rest of us don't necessarily grab in that first route. And I'm excited to see those YouTube runs come out for us to take a look at some of those observations and really pull apart what we saw and analyze it. In some cases, absurdly to an unnecessary degree, but analyze it nonetheless, because those levels of observation are always impressive. Do I agree with them? Not necessarily, but I'm always impressed with the level of dedication and the thoroughness with which they are made.
Thank you, Will. I thought about this earlier, forgot to mention it. The seamless transition from the cinematic to playing.
Yeah.
There was no
flaw in it.
There was a jump, but you had to be like really paying attention to it to see it.
It was well disguised.
Yes, it was. Yep. And there's, in addition to that, yes, a lot of people noticed that when Chief was going up the lift, there were other structures and clouds popping into view. Yeah. Obviously, they're still optimizing the game, but
this vista is
incredible.
Yeah, this is a demo. It's a premiere demo. It's a way of saying, hey, look, this is what we got that we can show you. But they're not going to give us all the cards. They're not going to throw everything on the deck and say, hey, guess what? This is what we got. What up? They're going to continue saving the best for launch. And I guarantee when they do, what you saw today is going to look absurd compared to what they're going to show you then.
Yes, Kevin. We noticed the ray tracing.
Yes.
Especially on Master Chief's visor.
I thought you meant the Pelican. Actual guy named Ray Tracing. He was the third Ungoy that you end up killing on accident. His name is Ray. His father's name was Philip. Philip Tracing. You're going to just let me keep going here?
I think that's it.
Ray will come in for an update later. I'm sure he will. And he'll bring his entire Tracing family. Crayon Tracing. Family Tracing. There's also Pencil Tracing, Graphite Tracing. His younger sister.
Crayon Tracing?
Highlighter Tracing. We like her. We just call her Lighter. And then there's, there's also Chalk Tracing. A little bit more sketchy, a little more powdery.
Crayons,
there's
pastels.
Also Permanent Marker Tracing, which just leaves it all right there on the table. You can't ever get rid of it. There's Puppy Poop Tracing, which is what we do with puppies upstairs. They just run their butts along the ground and leave a little brown mile for you to go back and spray down later with a hose. But lots of tracings, the whole tracing family.
Yes.
We look forward to you engaging with us as we define the new tracing family and their pet chickens.
There we go.
We need to get a Halo chicken. The show, I'm sorry. I need to get a Halo chicken, a Master Chief chicken.
Yes. Yes.
We'll pay for Master Chief the chicken.
It needs to be done.
Jello tracing? There's always room for Jello. I mean, why not?
Yeah. All right. Well, I know DJ and I are definitely tuckered out from overanalyzing this thing way too much today.
Tuckered it.
My head's hurting.
That was my chicken, let's be honest.
GT's just happy to finally go to bed here in a minute.
Well, you know, with the new job, it's not so bad. That's now good. That I don't have to get up before the butt crack of dawn, I'm okay with it.
There we go.
Good.
Old people, Conful, like us, we need sleep. I don't want to hear you.
Side note, since this was in the article that Chris wrote, thanks to the community, raised over $600,000.
Yo, that's for amazing.
Their NAACP fundraiser.
Cool.
$600,000. Good job, everybody. That's awesome. So like we said at the beginning of the show, this was not going to be a regular show. We will get into regular updates maybe next week. Depends on what drops between now and then.
Yeah.
Yes.
We are going to try to fill the gaps of Infinite News because this was the start of the Infinite train leaving the station. There's definitely going to be lots of podcasts that are just going to be thrown together and we'll see what sticks to the walls. We know we have quite a few people that are interested in coming on, so we'll try to get those guests lined up here pretty shortly.
Real quick, you said there was gap on the Infinite available now in dropships. Go on. Sorry, I was mishearing you.
I'm confused. But we will continue
cargo pants for everyone.
Oh, gosh. We'll continue to stick to the podcast on Thursdays. Depending on news that pops out, we might do extra shows. There might be several weeks where we do two shows coming between now and the launch of Infinite. We will see based on what information drops, when it drops, how it drops, to what extent it drops, to the complexity and density of what drops with it, all that good stuff. For those that are watching, we do actually have some new stuff from Pixel Flare. We used it today during our watch-along of the Xbox Game Showcase. Unfortunately, I didn't have enough time to get it onto the podcast setup, but next week we will see it. It's all nice, pretty, and blue, and Pixel Flare did an amazing job. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to Pixel Flare for all the amazing work. DJ, I think you saw a glimpse of it.
Yes, I love it. It looks great.
Yep, GT's seen it because he's getting his OBS set up for tomorrow.
It's shinier than my head. Love it.
Yeah, provided I don't have to download any more 10 gigabyte files. Oh,
now you've got a 7 gig one coming.
Well, it's not 10. Yes.
I'll have to see if there's an API to WebP converter that might make it smaller. I'll have to look into that. Anyways, huge shout out to everyone who came over and watched us today. We actually got raided by the legendary 117 and Haas today.
Oy, la, la.
Yeah, so they raided us while we were having our post-stream discussion. We also had quite a few new followers. We've had about 10 new followers today. So thank you, everyone, for coming on over and following the podcast. We hope you stick around and like what you listen.
Oy, la, la.
Welcome to the fold.
Yeah. We stream our podcast every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And then on Fridays, we have our Fraggin' Fridays hosted by Godzilla T with the community vote in our Discord on what we will play. So with GT making the announcement that we are having the PC lobby on Saturday, we are going to be having either Halo 5 or MCC as the poll options for tomorrow's Fraggin' Friday. And those will be for Xbox. And again, if you have any custom games that you would like GT to have ready available for when the party size gets too big, which happens just about every week, then please let him know ahead of time by either sharing the file link for Halo 5 or providing the gamer tag and the file names on MCC. Did I get that right?
Yes. And you can send that to me either over Xbox Live at Godzilla T, or you can message me on Twitter at Godzilla Todd.
Very nice. And then on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, that is our Achieving Halo stream hosted by me. We are still doing MCC, trying to figure out what achievements we'll be doing this week, but we still got quite a few in there to go. Until I get to the point where I need to do Lazos and torment myself over those, we'll continue to do MCC, and then once we run out of those, we'll probably do Spartan Strike and Spartan Assault.
Ooh, what about Spartan Pepper?
Once that comes out with achievements,
then Spartan Italian seasoning. It's also good.
I love me some Italian seasoning.
Perfect. It's good with fish, a little lemon, maybe some mayo.
Yeah.
Spicy.
So spicy. So good.
Yep. Those are our streams. You can find us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Give us a follow over there. You can also catch us on our Discord, podtaggler.com/Discord. That is where our community interacts the most. We also have a Spartan company that we read off our commendations a little bit earlier, podtaggler.com/company. And then we also have our Xbox Club. We did actually have a submission in the Discord. We will get to it next week. But if you have any fun Halo clips or screenshots, you can share them on the Xbox Club, and then we will cover them here on the show. Anything else that's Halo related, feel free to share it with us on social media or our Discord. We have a Tales from the Foxhold channel on our Discord. So if you share anything in there, then we will read it out here on the show. If you want to help support the podcast, there are a number of ways to do that. First way is by subscribing to us on Twitch. We are a Twitch partner. Thankfully, we've been the Twitch partner for a while. We went over the Mixer, but we come back to Twitch. So if you would like to subscribe to us, we would we'll gladly accept it. For anyone else who wants to donate to us monetarily, we have a PayPal. If you go to podtaggler.com/donate, you can donate to us directly, either a one-time donation or I think you can set up a recurring donation. Not sure. I need to actually check on that. So when I say it every week, I can actually stand behind that. also, we have a Patreon that you can get some nice little rewards for. So all of our live stream podcast recordings, all of our patrons get access to that for the $5 tier above, and there's some extra benefits that you get with that as well, including access to show notes, some Podtackler merch, where some people will actually hit next month being eligible to receive, and there are some other little things that you can get if you become a Patreon member. So head on over to podtackler.com/patreon. And with that, shout out to Confal, Frizzled, and Laburcus for being loyal patrons. Thank you all for your patronage. And then also, if you shop on Amazon, we have an Amazon affiliate link. So if you go to podtaggler.com/Amazon before you check out, then we get a little credit for the purchases that you make. All that helps keeps the lights on, helps keeps the website going, and helps us to do some fancy giveaways, which we'll undoubtedly be doing around the time that Infinite launches.
Maybe another series, maybe an Xbox
giveaway around the holidays, like we did a couple years ago, maybe. So you want to pay attention to that. And you can find our podcast on all of the major podcasting services. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, all the major ones. If there's a place that you cannot find us, then please reach out, let us know, and we will make sure that we can get the podcast where you would prefer to listen to your podcasts. Any final words, gentlemen?
Disestablishmentarianism, because it's very difficult to say when sober.
Okay.
What? You didn't say it had to be on theme.
No. No, I didn't.
So I figured I'd say it now.
Why not? There you go.
Why not?
All right, everybody. Oh, you got some GT?
As a great man once said, be excellent to each other.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to the show. Whether you're watching on Twitch or listening to us, we appreciate all the support. We will see you guys right back here next week, hopefully not as delirious and not as brain dead. But until then, keep on fragging them trucks.